Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, welcome to episode 208 of Back of the Net, the AFC Bournemouth podcast. My name's Sam Davis.
My name's Tom Jordan.
We've got the joy of six on this podcast, mate. It's not going to be a pretty one, but me and you, we're going to go through it and we're going to dissect it and maybe just have a wider conversation, shall we? Because no one really wants to hear a minute-by-minute deconstruction, or do they?
Well, if we did do a minute-by-minute construction, we would be here all day. There was plenty of goals, but unfortunately none that we were too fond of. So, yeah, I think we have a little bit of a deeper discussion, mate, of all things Bournemouth at the moment.
So these were our immediate thoughts at full-time. It's myself with Tom, and joining us, Ben Phillips.
Full-time, AFC Bournemouth 1, Manchester City 6.
I like the one, though.
A difficult day for the Chelsea.
Yeah, frustrating. I thought we'd lose quite comfortably. I think first half hour, it just felt like it was just a matter of time, really. We were sat back, obviously went into a five, and we're just kind of seeing how long we could hold them. But yeah, the frustration for me was we never really offered anything on the break until the game was done. And then, yeah, a few players come on and tried to do something. Obviously, Sinisterra got his goal, fair play to him. Aaron's done well. But apart from that, yeah, it was... It's pretty poor. It's just frustrating that they're a world-class side, mate. I think I said it on the vlog that I would pick anyone else in world football to play rather than City away. So let's not go over the top. But yeah, it's just frustrating that other teams seem to be able to compete a little bit or seem to be able to put out a game plan to at least limit them. We don't. I've been here. I think that's my fourth time I've been here. We've lost 4-1, 4-0, 5-1 and 6-1. So we never compete with them. We don't look like competing with them. And I don't know how much more money we need to spend to compete with them, but we look so far off being able to do anything. It's just, yeah, it's like a, I mean, it's FA Cup weekend, isn't it? And it's like a non-league side going to a top side and, yeah, just turning up, really, which is, yeah, frustrating. But we've said it before, but I think the main thing is I just hope Alex Scott's all right because he came off injured.
And that a few was people were saying he went off in tears down the tunnel, but according to press conference from Andoni Iraola, it hopefully is minor, and it's not the same leg that he's had problems with, the same knee, so or yeah. Ankle or whatever it was that he's had.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said it was his other knee, so he's hoping it's minor, but obviously don't know anything yet. But yeah, the fact that he was in tears is worrying, because you when you see that, you think, oh, has he felt something like he felt before? That's the fear. So hopefully he's all right, because even for that short spell, he was one of our better players. But yeah, it's frustrating me. I want to talk about the game a bit, but it's really hard because they're just too good and we're not good enough.
We contained them for the first, what, half an hour or so, but then three goals in the space of 6 minutes. I think our chances were few and far between. We went up the pitch a couple of times, didn't really get near, did we? Yeah. And but, you know, quality eventually showed through. I think they had threats all over. I mean, Doku looked good. Class. I mean, Bernardo Silva, obviously class. Haaland, whilst he didn't get on the score sheet, he was just a constant menace. And we had a different formation. In hindsight, do you think we maybe should have stuck to what we know? Or is it easy for us to throw out accusations and blame now as to, oh, he did this wrong, he did that wrong?
I mean, hindsight obviously is a wonderful thing, but as fans you can use that and say, you know, we've lost 6-1, so whatever you did didn't work. So I think that's fair. But equally, like you say, we did hold them for half an hour, but did you ever feel like in that half hour we're doing enough here to, oh, we can get something today? I didn't feel like that. I felt like, can we get them half time maybe? And then as soon as they scored wide, I thought that's it. And that's the worry. They had a few little half chances, but it did feel like a matter of time.
It was one of those things that when they scored one, we needed to react straight away. Because they scored so quickly and got that second, it's almost like the floodgates were waiting to open. And whilst we did put the ball in the back of the net just after half time, not that we saw it, unfortunately Christie was offside. And but we did impose ourselves a little bit better in the second 45. Alas, the scoreline, it doesn't look like we did.
No, I think was it 1-1 in the second half?
Yeah.
Which obviously looks nice. But yeah, I'm one of them that's, I do always say that when you're in that sort of game and you're 3-4-0 down, you're going to look better because the other team don't have to do anything.
And they made like a number of changes, didn't they? But I know it's strong players coming on for strong players.
Of course.
But you've got Calvin Phillips, who hasn't played many minutes at all this season. So, you know, it's those kind of play. And I thought, look, Rothwell did well when he came on,
I thought individually we were okay. I didn't think there was anyone that was horrific. Just think as a unit, as a team, we were never really competitive enough. They always looked like they just had a level above us. And yeah, we looked a little bit better at times when they probably just, you know, took the foot off the gas and just strolled through, really. So that's always going to be the case. There's loads of games that it works out like. I can think of, just off the top of my head, I can think of Chelsea last season.
Yeah.
I think it was just after the World Cup, where we were 2-0 down at half time. And then everyone went, we were better second half.
But then that's not,
well, they've won the game. And that's what it was today. They won the game. They didn't need to do anything. And it's evident when the only player that you could probably say in their team that's fighting and scrapping to try and get in the team is Doku. He's the only one that's going, I need to try and get in over Grealish, so I've been given a chance.
Maybe
and
Ake, because, you know, Guardiola, of course, has got that side locked
down.
Yeah,
this is rotate. Ake
turned up and scored against his old club.
Yeah, bloody good header as well. Bloody good header. He come and clapped the fans after the game, as you expect, and we were singing a song. I think the song we sang the most was either the Nathan Ake song or the Jay Nantley song.
Yes.
Because he was sat behind us. To be fair to him, he had a good laugh when Sinisterra scored because it was ironic. But it was just, like I say, mate, I want to kind of like dive into, obviously we'll go through it in a second look, but it's really hard to dive into a game too much and talk about things too much when you know that just on every area of the pitch they're better.
Yeah.
And we just couldn't get the grips of it. And as soon as they scored the goal, it was game over. And that's how it felt. And I never felt like we were in a game. It was a nice little moment when we scored, but yeah, let's be real. We weren't, obviously it was 4-1. We weren't ever going to get it back into the game. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I don't think anyone individually was bad. I don't think there was anyone that was horrific.
No, not particularly. I thought Christie was.
I mean, Christie was Christie. Yeah.
For his endeavour. Whilst you're here, let's bring in Ben as well. Yeah, Ben, do you want to come on? Tom can stay with us in the conversation. Right. Ben, a difficult day.
Yeah, very difficult. I would say it's a tough one to take, but when you expect it, it's not as bad. But we just got to make sure our confidence doesn't dip, because conceding six, it can, and it can't start a slippery slope, because we need to remember it's Man City. They're very, very good. Arguably one of the best sides in football at the moment, if maybe even ever. It's they were just different classes, Tom said. But we just got to keep on building on the momentum that we built last week. You know, we were decent against Liverpool, and I know it was somewhat their second string, and beat Burnley. We're still outside the relegation zone somehow.
Yeah.
And obviously, I know, is it Luton haven't played still, but that I think there's it's going to be a very little points tally that's going to need to keep us up this year. It'll probably be mid-20s, maybe. Yeah. But to be honest.
Just imagine, yeah.
Feels like it could be.
One of the things I noticed was how high Chris Meppham seemed to be.
Yeah.
It's almost like one of the central defenders of that three were given the licence to just push forward.
Yeah.
You know, there's a name for that, isn't there? Libero or something?
Yeah, something like that. I think Celesti tried to do it second half, so he probably tried that. I kind of get it. I think it can look silly at times, but I think if they're just going to have one up front and then they've got ball players everywhere in that midfield area, if you have three centre-halves just standing there marking one,
yeah,
it's pointless because all their attacking midfielders get in space. And I actually thought Meppham in particular done quite well at that in the first half. Yeah. Thought he was quite good at that. In that opening half hour, I thought he was coming out, doing all right. Don't know if it was if he got any sort of injury or he just wanted to try Celesti there because the game was done. I was calling for like Solanke and that to come off earlier because the game was dead. So if that was the case, then fair enough. Yeah, and you kind of have got to go, you know what, let's try a few little bits today because it's Man City, as Ben said, like they're a different level. I think you saw that because Liverpool can give City a game and you wouldn't be absolutely shocked if Liverpool beat Man City.
No.
But I think what we've seen in the week, yes, they rotate a little bit, but they still had Salah, Szoboszlai, blah, blah, blah. There was times in that game where it was quite end-to-end, but they missed some big chances, Liverpool, as well as ourselves, but they missed some big chances. City wouldn't have missed them.
Yeah.
And City just are so clinical, and that's the difference. They're so clinical, it's a joke. So you give them half a yard, and it could be game over. Whereas against Liverpool, I thought, yeah, Salah, all just wide, all just got away with that, we're all right here. And that won't going to happen today. And they are a different level. And we're not going to play Man City away again. And that is the biggest positive of the day, mate.
Well, you know, give me some positives, Ben, or just a couple, just to wrap up with regards to our performance. What we can take out of it, if anything.
Our wing-backs got forward. Well, I mean, Aaron's got an assist.
Yeah. Great assist.
I thought in the midfield, it wasn't like prevalent that we were exposed. I didn't think we were thinking that they were running through us all the time, which is all right, I guess. And at least our fixtures get easier.
No, they don't.
It's the Premier League. It's relentless. You know, Newcastle, Villa coming up. We're not in the relegation zone. Yeah. At the end of the day, we're not in the relegation zone. And I know that we wanted to kind of kick on from last season, coming 15th for a couple of points off like 12th and that, but You got to take out it is, and as fans, we just got to keep on going, I suppose, because we've got to keep faith somehow, yeah, some way. But yeah, we need to beat Sheffield United, and who knows? Because I know they won today, but over the course of the season, they haven't been great. So yeah, we've just got to try and kick on.
Can't wait. Up the cherries.
Up the cherries.
So for the 2023-24 season, Back of the Net is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game.
Green King Sport's venues are showing every televised Cherries fixture over the course of the season. So instead of turning to the internet for a dodgy stream, get your mates together, get down to your local Green King pub and get closer to the action.
And do you know the next televised game that we've got, mate?
I do. It's Newcastle.
Newcastle. So if you can't go to the game, get to a Green King pub because they've launched the Green King Sport app and also the Instagram page as well, which is home to fan content, deals and competitions throughout the season. They've actually already given away Champions League final tickets and signed shirts, so you don't want to miss out.
Yeah, and they've got Instagram, so drop them a follow on that and you won't just be the first to know about all of this, but you'll also be helping Back in the Net, our channel, so we'd really appreciate it.
And breathe and relax and let's talk this through then, Tom.
Well, you told me we were going to get something, so.
I did. Well, look, well, what are you talking about?
On the way there.
Yeah.
You said to me.
What was the time? 9:21 a.m, wasn't it?
Correct.
On the way up. I just had this optimistic moment in the rain, in the treacherous conditions driving up to Manchester. I said the following words. What was it?
You said, hang on, I've got it. I've still got to save, mate, because I saved another one ready for a future date as well.
Oh, okay.
Just a little quote of yours that I thought, you know, you can't just throw that out there and expect me never to bring it up again. So, yeah, 9:21 a.m. Yeah. Sam, I think we're going to win today.
When I said win.
Pathetic.
Win the disallowed the goals count. Obviously, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
And this is a difficult one. This is a really difficult one to actually work out, really, because playing the best side in world football, ship six goals to them, that's nothing new.
No.
I think you said on the player ratings show on Telegram, which is exclusive to our monthlies. If you wanna join that, by the way, just go to afcbpodcast.com/coffee. We truly appreciate the support. Every penny goes back into the channel, and as part of that, we give you some first looks some bloopers. There have been a few recently, but also the day after every game, Tom posts his player ratings show. And you did say that I think you've been up to the Etihad, what, four times, and you've never seen us concede less than four.
No, yeah, I think twice four, five and a six. So, yeah, and I think that was probably why, obviously, they ended up being correct, but that's probably why I was just, there was just nothing in me that I think I've just been here over time and it's always a disaster. And it's just always so hard to stop them. And I felt like if we're ever going to get something, as I alluded to, we have to be in such a good place. And it just, you know, kind of something mad happens. But they need to be a little bit off there. We need to be in a really good spot. And that wasn't the case. So I didn't. And yes, they've got Europe coming up, but I knew they're actually through in that. So I thought, they're not. There's just no way they're not going to win this, in my opinion. So, yeah, disappointed, mate. But I don't know. It's, as you said then, I thought afterwards when we spoke with you and Ben, done the fan reaction afterwards, I was kind of saying on that, I find it so difficult to talk about this game because I just feel like you're saying the same stuff. Like, we're not, we weren't awful. They're just too good everywhere.
Yeah. We don't have to talk about it.
Okay.
I mean, one thing I would want to start off by saying is,
thanks for liking the video. And
if you're watching the podcast rather than listening, you'll see that when me and Tom are drinking our coffee, you might see these like slight grimaces after every gulp. It's because we don't have our usual semi-skimmed milk. We've had to resort to oat milk, and it's a little bit nutty, isn't it?
I don't even know if I can go back to that.
Really?
I'm really struggling. This just topped off my, oh. Just, there's just no, nothing positive at the moment. Give me something.
Look, I think I've been that was nice to see him. I think I've been browsing through the forums, through X, through some Facebook things, and there are a lot of people saying that AFC Bournemouth aren't Premier League level. But then Manchester City aren't Premier League level, are they? They're above that. And it's after performances like that, you think it's no wonder they wanted the European Super League because we were no competition. But you alluded to the point on the walk home on the vlog, and I think you said it afterwards in Player Rating Show, that unfortunately, there just seems to be this hoodoo that Bournemouth don't compete against Manchester City. Look, we've had isolated games where there's been a goal in it. Remember the 2-1 in COVID. Remember also the 2-1 at our place where Raheem Sterling popped up in the 96th minute or whatever it was.
A little bit better at home at times.
Yeah, that's right. But it seems certainly whenever we go to their place, we just seem to capitulate. It's almost like a mental block. And I think that's now 14 or is it 15 L's on the spin at home and away in all competitions against Manchester City. Arse draw was in 1999. I was there to see it. It's not good, is it?
No, and that was kind of what I was getting at. I mean, a few people didn't understand when I put it on X, that they were saying, well, you know, they've battered other teams this season. I was going, no, my point was, not to be too critical, it's just that my point was exactly that there's not, I don't think there's anyone else that's gone this long we've not really competed with them. We, like I said, home bit slightly better, but there was one that we were very unlucky because they scored last kick. And then a COVID one, which always has that little asterisk in my opinion because it is different. But we did do all right in that game. We're actually unlucky in that game.
Are you saying that Liverpool didn't actually win the league then that season?
No, I definitely wouldn't say that because they will absolutely kill me in the comments and Liverpool fans hate me enough as it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you know what I'm saying in that regard. And so yeah, from that point of view, I just feel like there's no, that's what I was trying to get to. There's no one else that don't really compete with them since 99. I mean, it's just, and going to the Etihad, like I say, because the only one we did all right in really was COVID, so fans going to the Etihad, we've seen nothing but just getting absolutely taken the piss out of, really. And yeah, we just, whatever, and these are different managers, these are different players, we don't seem to be able to, and every, we just go there every year, put five at the back and get smashed, so it doesn't work, does it? I mean, I know five at the back is not just a loose term of, it's always different the way it's set up. But yeah, just there was no part of me that felt we could get anything, and that's what transpired, unfortunately. And the weird thing is, I don't think anyone was really bad.
No.
I don't think we were awful. They were just too good all over the pitch. And yeah, we just, them little moments in games when you get to half hour and stuff, you hope that they miss that, they scuff that chance or whatever, and you somehow get in, or one of our very few counter attacks, something happens. You just got to get that rubber to the green. And we obviously saw with Wolves recently that they defended all game, but they had a little bit more on the break. And, you know, they put in a ball, and I think it was Ruben Diaz scored an own goal. And you just need that rubber to the green. You know, I'm not, yeah, this is taking nothing away from Wolves, but against Man City, you need something like that to just go your way.
It's a funny game, though, isn't it? Because in terms of the expected goal stat, and a lot of people turn their nose up at that. And I tend to agree, really, yeah, because ultimately it's the goals you score and that's the ultimate gauge of how well or bad you do in a season. But in the week previous, City beat United, of course, convincingly on their own patch 3-0 with the higher expected goals than they actually had against Bournemouth. I think on Match of the Day, the stats, I think these are the Opta stats, 1.88 for Man City versus 0.77 XG for AFC Bournemouth. So they certainly outperformed their XG, but then you can highlight that difference between the XG and the actual goals, because some of the goals that went in were, I wouldn't say lucky, but they went through a few bodies, they were scored from tight angles, they were, I wouldn't say freak goals by any stretch of the imagination, but on another day it could have been largely different.
Yeah, but I'd always expect a team like Man City to over-egg their XG, yeah, if you like, because of the quality they've got, and as you say, they weren't. They're them goals you feel like, oh, I got a little bit unlucky there, I just went for a few bodies, but they've manoeuvred it really well, you know, whether it's a bit of movement off the ball, whether it's you know, a bit of technical quality in and around the box, that's what they've got. So yeah, we know that we get a chance against Man City, you've got to put it in, because you're not going to get many, as we saw, and we actually didn't do too bad, because yeah, we put a couple in, obviously one was offside, we hit the bar, so we weren't hideous in front of goal, we just didn't get many opportunities in front of it. But yeah, they were just, I think Andoni took the words out of my mouth after the game, actually, because that's how I saw it. As he went, first half hour, it looks good, you know, you're 0-0. But it felt like the players were the same as the fans, which was, we've got the half hour here, this is all right, just keep it now. And then looking at the watch and going, 15 minutes, keep it. You've still got to be front foot and aggressive. And I think we were for a period, especially in that first 20, where, yes, we were deep, yes, they had all the ball, but we've been nicking tackles, we're nicking blocks, and then I felt the longer the half went on, we were kind of retreating and going, we're nearly there.
But that's just the nature of the beast, I think, isn't it? Because when you play Man City and you're in your comfort zone, that is when they will take advantage, and they just probe, they pressure. Yeah. Just takes an individual mistake or something to happen whereby they get in and then they score. I think, strange though, isn't it funny how football opinions changed based on external matters though? Because on Saturday, we were all just like shrugging our shoulders like, it's City. Yet on Sunday, after a certain result, we're all looking at what Luton did against Liverpool, and it turns from frustration to almost despair and then anger at times because they managed to get a point. And I asked you the question, if we did a tweet, we didn't do it this week, but if we did a tweet after full time, you know, the usual 5-word match report tweet that we sometimes put out.
Yeah.
Would have the responses been different on Sunday after the Luton game to what they would have been after our loss?
Yeah, I think they would have been.
They would have been.
Because like you say, the general consensus online seemed to change quite quickly, which I didn't, as I say, we were chatting in a group chat of ours. I don't really understand it, because Liverpool's record away from home against teams in the bottom is not very good. This year, we went there in a bad place and beat them. Sorry, we went there. We were at home to Liverpool, beat them. 1-0, Nottingham Forest last season, were another promoted team, beat them at home.
You never rely on them.
You got to rely on Liverpool away from home against one of the teams at the bottom. They showed it before the game. I think they've won one of like loads of games. They struggled in that sort of game, so that didn't shock me. I thought Liverpool probably have too much. They didn't. Then he got a point, and they played really well, I thought. But
plus, it was only a wonder goal that managed to settle it in the Carabao Cup as well.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, you know, it's just so typical at the moment that Nunes scores a wonder goal and then he misses an open goal against Luton. I mean, that is Nunes, isn't it? We've spoke about that. But
I think it was offside anyway, was it? Or not?
I know, they said that the flag was up, but when they looked back, he wasn't off, so it would have counted, yeah. But yeah, it was, don't get me wrong, Luton played really well, thought they went about it really well, but that was exactly the same as how we went about it at home to them not long ago. You know, 6 months ago, something like that. That was exactly the same as what we did. So let's calm down, because we haven't played Liverpool at home, you know. And I never rather Liverpool at home. We've beaten them a few times. They do have this thing that we all know how good they are at Anfield. But yeah, the stats prove that they struggle against newly promoted and teams in the bottom away from home. So it wasn't the biggest shock in the world to me. I did think I did think Liverpool would probably have too much. And the longer the game was going at 0-0, I thought they'll nick this. And then Luton done, you know, finished off on the break exactly like we did against them at home, where we had that breakaway. I think it was Ratara and Billing finished it off. And it was virtually a cardboard copy of that, won it down the side and then a ball into the box. And I think it was Chong put it away. But yes, I was relieved that they got the Liverpool managed to nick that goal at the end. But Luton earned the point, definitely. And they looked like a team real scrapping and working really hard for each other. And it was a good performance from them. I was actually more, even though they're above us, I was more surprised with Nottingham Forest's result against Villa, because Villa have been so good. But I was really impressed with Nottingham Forest for their excellence. So that was a bit of a concern. And obviously, Sheffield United won the day before as well. So it wasn't ideal. I think the only result really that went pretty well for us was Burnley losing at home. And apart from that, it wasn't ideal. So I think we all knew we were going to lose to City, but we probably didn't expect all the results that kind of went slightly against us. So I appreciate why that's probably lowered people's moods even more.
I said this on our WhatsApp group yesterday. It seems to me, though, and I'm probably only saying this because we are below the dotted line. Again, here's the league table. It's not great, is it?
I keep showing it.
Mate, we have to show the league table.
We don't.
If you're listening on the audio pod, it doesn't matter. However, there they are. They're above it and we are below it. But what is the difference? I said to the group yesterday, I think for me, the issue is that there are teams like Sheffield United and Luton who have a, and this is no sort of disrespect intended here, have a bunch of players that whose experience is mostly in Championship football.
Yep.
Like we had when we got promoted the first time.
They agree with
and that. They know that they have to work hard to get the job done. Burnley and Bournemouth, though, this season, of course, they've both spent big. We spent more. Burnley have spent, I think, as I said, close to 100 million.
Mm.
There's no siege mentality with us. And almost we've got sort of delusions of grandeur a little bit. We've got players that are used to playing for bigger clubs. And it feels to me, correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like sometimes they treat us as a bit of a payday, and equally they're happy to pass responsibility. Because I don't really see the player, that kind of talisman for Bournemouth that's pulling us through. Dom Solanke's usually that player.
Yeah.
There's only so much he can do, though. But I don't know, I just sense a lot of team spirit and togetherness, and realising that, you know, they are not only battling the teams that they're playing against, but they're battling the media expectation. Mm. Whereas for us, it feels like there isn't any expectation on us to go down, although there wasn't amongst many people at the start of the season. But also, because there's so much talent in this side, I sort of compared it with a Cambridge-Oxford boat race, which is a very middle-class analogy. But I remember at some point in the noughties or whatever, Cambridge were by far the stronger side. And I think, you know, you can even see it on the Bet365 odds that, yeah, Cambridge are going to win. And how many are there in a boat race? Is it four and the Cox or five?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
The boat race down the Cox. Down the Thames.
I don't know what it is, vaguely.
Yeah, where you do that rowing.
Boring thing I've ever seen in my life. And I've watched cricket before.
You know, Fulham fans will know all about that, of course, just being next to the Thames. But I think that, you know, it was one of those things where they all thought that they were going to win. And it was just this kind of responsibility passing. I think even the Cambridge skipper or Cox or captain or whatever they call him in the boat race said at the end, we just thought we were going to win it because man for man, we are stronger. And in the end, Oxford won by a country mile, and it sort of feels like that a little bit with AFC Bournemouth. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I'd probably disagree more than agree with you on that.
Okay.
I get your point, and I totally agree. I think if you look at it at the moment, I think Bournemouth and Burnley have had more of a...
Did you realise that you just said, I disagree and I totally agree in one sentence?
I have indeed.
I don't know where I am with you.
I disagree in the general consensus of what you've said. I agree with your point on Burnley and Bournemouth having a different... It looks different to Sheffield United and Luton because of the fact that we've had more of an overhaul of players, probably more players coming from abroad, probably younger players as well, without looking at it officially. And they've got a lot more players that know it and have kind of been together as a group and probably have a bit more team spirit about them. Well, I totally get that point. But yeah, what I will say is I think, listen, we're below the dotted line on goal difference. Luton haven't played Man City away. Let's remember that. Let's calm down. This time last season... I would say everyone was going, Forest are gone. They just bought in loads of new players. They're gone. And what happened? They gave the manager time and he got them players. Of course it would take time. He had loads of new players. They gave the manager time because they thought we got a good coach here. So that could align with us. Who knows? But that's what they did. They went, we've got a coach that we trust to get it out of these players. But we knew it would take time because there's a lot of new ones and there's a new style. They gained the time and they were comfortably safe and now they look quite good. And no one's talking about Nottingham Forest for relegation. And like I say, a year ago, everyone said they were gone. So I think you can look at that point and say, you know, there's no reason why we can't be similar to that. At the moment, I look at Sheffield United and Luton. I think we've probably got more quality on the ball at times. We've probably got individually. I think individually we've got better players in nearly every position. Nearly, not all, but but most of the way. But have we got a better organisation, a better team spirit, a better connections over the pitch? No. And what will weigh out, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, it was only January where we were bottom of the league. We had nowhere near as many games to go as we got now.
Yeah.
And we stayed up comfortably with four games to spare, which we just lost anyway, who cares? And we still stayed up really, really comfortably. Everyone needs to just... People do this every year. People go, well, it's 3 out of 4, isn't it? Well, 3 out of 4 are gone. It never is.
There's definitely
a never is. Teams will get pulled in.
There's definitely a recency bubble when it comes to like fan mentality, isn't there? Like, and, you know, I can't see my way out of this. I think even on a video in February earlier this year, I think I said, look, we're relegated. I just can't see it. But there is a way out. However, at the moment, I just can't see it. But I'm just thinking to myself, well, we've just played Man City, the best team in world football. And even a Man City fan on the way out said that we gave it more of a go against them than Man United did in their 3-0.
Guardiola mentioned it as well, didn't he? I mean, Guardiola's done this a few times where he's been very complimentary of Bournemouth. And as we mentioned on the results against them, the head-to-head, I'm not surprised because he probably wants to see us every single season.
And also, I think there's a little bit of that Basque kind of brothers in arms.
Maybe, but he has done it previously with Eddie Howe teams as well. Yeah. I think
he's one of our own sort of thing.
I think what he respects because of the time manager is, I think he, even though it makes it easy for them, so that probably helps him, I think he just likes the fact that we're not a nasty, behind the ball kind of dogged, fouling them all the time team, which I wish we were sometimes against them. But I think he just respected that we were 3-4-0 down and still try to attack, and obviously we scored a goal, and I think he just respected that, and that's the type of gaffer he is. But
should we be more pragmatic against Man City, you know, given the fact that it is not work? I mean, it's so funny because you think, oh, we are pragmatic, we're 5 at the back for this one. In fact, let's have a look at the team lineups now. This was how the team lined up, and for those listening on the audio pod, it was Radu, and then across the back we had Aarons, Meppham, Zabani, Kelly, Kerkez. Four across the midfield, Christie, Scott, Billing, Tavernier, Solanke up top. So you're looking at that thinking, oh, maybe we are going to do something different. But then when the game started, it was no different.
Not really. Like I say, it was just Kerkez in for Semenyo, which was obviously put an extra body back there. And Kerkez did well in the week against Liverpool, against Salah, so I kind of got it. I felt for Semenyo, but someone was had to get pulled out. He was probably going to be in. But yeah, it wasn't... On one hand, I think hindsight, you go, oh, I wish we could be a little bit more pragmatic, nasty, men beyond the ball, you know, just scrap and try and counter and stuff. I don't think we've got the players to really do that. You know, listen, was it Scott Parker at Man City last season, wasn't it? Yeah. So,
and that was a horrible game. That was, I didn't think we were, despite the scoreline looking worse, we were much more entertaining in this game than we were last.
We broke away and had more opportunities, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, away from home at Man City last season, we had Scott Parker. At home, we had Gary O'Neill. We got spanked in both, didn't we? And we tried to be low block, a bit nastier or not, and it was crap. So, who cares? So, we tried that, and it didn't really work. I don't really get the just... If you're going to play like we play, do you really need to just chuck another body at the back? I kind of get it, but... Yeah, I don't know. Looking at it again, maybe would I go, actually play Semenyo instead of Christie and just leave Semenyo, Solanke and Tavernier up there?
It doesn't matter what you do. I've seen some tweets saying, you know, wish we played with more of a low block, wish we were more pragmatic. And then other people saying, I wish we gave it more of a go. Well, that was us giving it a go and we still got found out. So I think one of the things that I did think is our low press looks, I thought, quite passive. Like, the amount of times they were just passing it outside our penalty area, which is like, it was horrible to see.
I think sometimes we were worried.
There were lines of like 7, sometimes 8 people. It was almost like a 7 line man defence, really, at times. And that also made it very difficult. Like, when we did get the ball, we only had Solanke, if he was up there, to then, you know, play out to. So there was no chance of a counter-attack. He was going to hold it up. I don't know. It's just really, really hard to watch. And it's that inviting of the pressure. Mm. And that, you know, so at some point, the bubble would burst. And it did on 31 minutes with Doku.
Nick Plarany.
He's all right.
He's not bad, is he? I mean, the second one was even more special, his assist. But at the time, I thought he might have sliced it a little bit. But he actually found the corner really well. City have went and got another gem there. It meant they can do things like rest Grealish for a full game because of his quality.
How many assists and how many goals? I mean, I know that one of them we thought was a goal, but it came off of Kanji, but then...
Four assists and a goal, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, really, really good. And that has now led to Man City having 22 home wins in a row, which is an absolute joke,
yeah,
isn't it?
Very impressive. Very impressive. And yeah, you can see why. I think teams are so, it's not just us, listen, teams are so fearful when they go to the Etihad. I think at home sometimes you think, oh, we owe it to have a little bit more of an option on the break. I think away from home, you literally just sit there and die, to be honest, against Man City. And I think Man City know that before the game starts. And I think a lot of teams find it difficult against low blocks. Man City are so used to it and so patient that they just go, we'll just keep it on the sofa and they'll come. Yeah. They'll come. And that's what happens to the quality they've got. I mean, obviously, talk about Dockworth or Bernardo Silva was a joke. Just runs a football match. He's so good. Play him anywhere and he's magnificent. So, yeah, they didn't even really need Haaland to do anything in the game. I think come off with a slight knock, apparently, at half-time.
I thought Sabarling did well when he was sort of man-to-man on him. And I thought, you know, Lloyd Kelly, he was the one that deflected onto the post when he had that header of the far stick. So,
yeah,
fair play to Lloyd for that. So we kept him quiet. But, you know, same as last season. We kept him quiet last season, mate. And they've got goals everywhere else in their team. I sort of wonder, is Foden like the new Sterling in terms of always scoring against us? Because he always seems.
Yeah, it's good shout.
We'll take a look at the match timeline on YouTube. So look at that, 30 minutes, nothing happened. And then the floodgates open. Now, the first little worrying bit I can see, mate, 44 minutes, Alex Scott. Now, you'd have been underneath in the goalpost. Well,
the only thing I want to say is people always laugh at me because I go down on 38 minutes.
Yeah.
And I always miss goals.
Yeah.
There were seven goals. Didn't miss any.
That's good.
Didn't miss any.
Well, you missed the one that we did score that got chalked off, as did I, as you can see on the vlog. But yeah, Alex Scott, he was in the opposition penalty box. And then, I don't know if it was a tackle or some kind of coming together, but he came off, he hobbled off, apparently in tears down the tunnel. And, you know, media sound bites afterwards suggest that it's his other leg, so might not necessarily be a problem. However, just that, you know, the crying reaction worries me.
Yeah, the sound bites since the game have been a little bit more positive than I expected, because when he come off, as you say, in tears, looks like, you're thinking, here we go, he is crocked. I'm hoping, like I say, they've said hopefully it's minor, and I'm glad it's not the same knee. My only concern before we've heard anything is Scott in tears because he thinks, it feels like the last time on the other knee. I don't know. Who knows? Hopefully he was just caught up in the moment, really disappointed that he's just got back and he's come off injured. And then he's seen it afterwards and gone, actually. Because Andoni's obviously come out afterwards and said, we hope it's minor. If it was something really serious, he'd have known about it by the time he had the press conference after the game. So I'm hopeful with that, mate. If he has to miss, obviously we don't want to miss any. If he has to miss a game, at least we've got international break.
Yeah.
So as long as he's, even though I want him fit for Newcastle, I think in my head, if you offered me he's fine for Sheffield, I'd probably take it, because at least Lewis is coming back for the next game. But yeah, that was a real shame. And I just want to point out that I thought Rothwell had done all right when he came on. And I think Rothwell, I know he made that error against West Ham on the opening day. I think Rothwell, every time he's come on and played, has been quite good. And I'm surprised we haven't tried a Scott and Rothwell, a Cook and Rothwell. Do you know what I mean? At any point? Because I quite like Rothwell when he comes on.
Going back to my conversation earlier about this kind of mentality within players, and we've got a lot of these kind of luxury players that have played for, you know, bigger and better clubs.
Yeah.
So Alex Scott, Championship football, obviously wants to prove himself in the Premier League. Mm. Joe Rothwell played Championship football like nearly all his life. Mm. Another player that's done so well recently, Chris Meppham, the underdog. You know,
Cannon.
It rarely plays for us, but when he has done it, so
Tavern,
like even Antoine Semenyo.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. It just feels like there are certain players that have just got this mentality of having something to prove, and there are other ones that, judging by some of their performances, evidently don't.
I know. Yeah, the on paper kind of thing. So yeah, it's an interesting one, because obviously Chelsea are playing Tottenham, and I think that's a good cut. So Tottenham are miles better. Hmm. Miles better footballing team, although this could age badly. But they're a miles better footballing team so far this season. They've got everything's going a lot better for them than it is Chelsea, of course. If you went through it player for player, I think Chelsea might even win on the year 11. It'd be close. Yeah. They shouldn't be that close when you look at these. I think that's same with us. So I think I said to you, actually, we were just having a chat about again. Brentford are so plenty good. There's barely any that I would take over ours. On paper, individual player, price tag, blah, blah. You look at them and go, oh, they're always quite solid in the midfield. Who have they got? Jensen, Norgaard, you kind of go, who are they? Vissa, you know, Ben Mee and Hickey. You kind of, and you go, but the ones that excite you go, oh, Max Aaron, Milos Kerkez, Sabani.
Yeah.
And it is, yeah, I know what you're saying. And when we first come up, we were better and competing better with, no respect to, Harry Arthur, Andrew Sermon, Nuno Kane, Charlie Daniels, Simon Francis.
And there's a factor with all these players that I've mentioned. They're either British, you know, I'm talking about Chris Meppham, Alex Scott, etc., the players that we were just alluding to, or they've played in the English system.
Right, yeah. Yeah, most of them, yeah. As you say,
and the ones that we're kind of struggling with at the moment are the ones that haven't.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I know what you mean.
The physicality of the Premier League maybe is a bit too much for them. I don't know.
I think because of the price tag is the main point on this, because I think it's a weird one, isn't it? But it's we forget the age of Sabani. We forget the age of Kerkez, I think, a lot of the time because of their price tags. You think these are brilliant. Yeah, these are going to be superstars. Yeah, but they're bloody... Neither of them have to be registered. They're so young.
But it's almost like we've gone from there to there. We've sort of tried to jump a little bit too fast. And Andoni has been tasked with the job of trying to, you know, glue that all together. And it's, at the moment, it seems to be proving a little bit too much from it. It just seems to be we're running before we can walk a little bit. And too much has changed too quickly, I think, anyway.
Yeah, and you add things into that. So obviously you add in injuries in key positions, key areas that don't help, obviously. You add in, we've played all the big boys. So, yeah, you add all that in along with the fact that you've got new, young players that are trying to get involved in a new system and, like you say, moving quite quickly. You chuckle that together and it feels a bit of a mess. Yeah. And Burnley have been quite similar, actually. So, yeah, it does feel a little bit of a mess. But, you know, fortunately, we're in November.
We are in November. And that's the thing I need to remember. Like, you know, like I said, it's that recency bubble. I'm just feeling very pessimistic based on what's happening. But we've got some games ahead now that we should be looking at to try to take points or at least skank points. Sheffield United is huge.
Yeah.
Newcastle United at home, we don't lose.
Don't lose to Eddie.
No, we don't lose to Eddie.
He won't do that to us anyway.
No, he wouldn't.
We've spoke a lot about how, you know, horrible our fixtures were, etc. And I don't think we can get onto that going forward now because we had Everton and Wolves and we didn't do anything. So that's our own fault, isn't it? But what I will say is Newcastle was a bloody horrible game. We've just seen them beat Arsenal. And Arsenal were unbeaten. But if you're going to pick a time to play Newcastle, you'd pick it after they've gone to Dortmund with all the injuries they've got at the moment. Yeah. They've got, I think, off the top of my head, Bruno Guimarães has got suspended, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Isak's out injured. I think Jacob Murphy's injured. I think, who else said, Botman's injured.
Yeah.
I think Dan Byrne got an injury. So they've got some injuries in there. Obviously, Harvey Barnes. So, and they go to Dortmund in a game because they lost the home game. It's a key one for them. Mm. That's going to take a lot out of them. You know, so if you could pick a time to play them, it'd be now. So, you know, I think we go into that. We can't look at that as a free hit, put it that way. We're not in a position to at the moment. And then, yeah, as you say, we got Sheffield after the break. So let's see where we're at. But, you know, I mean, I'm always someone that thinks that really, if you're going to do what we've done in terms of bringing a foreign managers, never managed in the league, giving loads of young players, new players, not really have a balanced squad in terms of the recruitment, in my opinion, didn't really understand a lot of it, then he probably should get the season. But equally, I understand that the fear of going down is gonna overweigh that.
And Foley's ruthless as well, but
he is. But
you know, also the fact is though, there are some key positions where we haven't got any personnel.
Yeah, I mean,
and that's not Iraola's fault.
No, Iraola, you can't tell me Iraola would have preferred eight wingers to no defensive midfield player or one that's always injured and one left back. So yeah, I agree with you there. I think that, yes, he's ruthless, Foley, in the sense that what he did with getting Iraola in, but equally, when everyone was saying, you know, Gary Neil's up to it with Urshan down, he went, no, we'll give you some tools in January, and I think you've got enough here. You know, makes a plan on the count, I think we'll get enough points, which Gary and the lads did. So, yeah, I personally think you've got to get in the season, but I appreciate that you get a little bit squeaky bum because of the money involved. But I do think that it's got to be minimum if you get to January. And if you're really convinced that we're going down with this gaffer and this style, then it's pointless giving him new players and money when you might change the style in a week. I always go back to, but, I never understood, remember with Jason Tindall, feels ages ago, doesn't it? I think it was right to get rid of him in the end. It didn't work. But I never understood. He signed Ben Pearson, and then a few days later, we sacked him. So Ben Pearson's come in under one manager. I never get that. I always think if you get the January the 1st, you start spending money and saying, you know, and then he's talking to the manager, and this is the style you're going to play, and then you sack him a week after. It makes no sense to me. We get the January, and we see where we're at.
But then, you say that, and then in the same breath, we were looking at the same players under Gary O'Neill that we were under Andoni Iraola. So that's what I don't get. So are we then focusing on recruitment now?
It's a weird one. And obviously, at the moment, to be honest, it's not really it's been disappointing. It's not really the football that I'm watching that's disappointing. It's more outside stuff that's making me feel a bit there with football. And not just Bournemouth, for football in general, which I'm sure we'll go into on the Premier League show with VAR and loads of nonsense. But in general, mate, I think it's not really what I'm watching in the football that's getting me a bit near at the moment. It's stuff outside of that. It's not just Bournemouth. I'm sure we're going to on the Premier League show, mate, but it's football in general and VAR and all that crap. But I don't know. We'll see where we're at. But there could be a point that we end up, we've got a good coach and it doesn't fit. And he goes somewhere else and he ends up being really good and we go, it just didn't work. Yeah. There is a case for that. Me personally, at the moment, I think we've got a good coach. I think we've got good enough players. I think it's going to take a bit of time. I think we've got some young players. I believe at this moment you can only go off what you know. Tiny little things that you've seen at the moment with us, but also his CV in Spain and as a coach and what, you know, journalists and reporters closer to it than us say about him and what I've seen in a very small amount of time is I think we've got a good coach here and let's see what happens. It might end up not working, but I certainly don't feel like we should be looking to pull the plug or anything like that, especially after playing Man City. But we've said it on previous Second Look shows before, mate. I think the main factor that people don't appreciate sometimes, it depends what's going on inside on the training pitch. And if players are not playing for him, if players are going, I don't think this guy's got it, then you might need to change it because that's not going to work. You need it to all align. At the moment, I don't see that being the case. I think we saw very recently against Burnley in a massive, massive football match, both teams. When we got ahead, the lads were working their nuts off to make sure we got over the line. That didn't look like a team that weren't playing for the gaffer, in my opinion. So, we'll see what happens, mate. But football can change really quickly. We're going to beat Newcastle, go into the break happy, come back, beat Sheffield United.
Could happen.
Whatever, mate. We've fully shown he'll put his hands in his pockets. We go and address a few bits in January. We could be absolutely fine.
We could be. It felt to me almost like a game of two halves in some ways. I don't know, because we did look a lot better in the second half, but then there are reasons for that. Man City had the game won.
Yeah.
They were making substitutions. We'll go back to the match timeline and look just how many swaps were happening there. They make a load of them. And really, the only difference was one goal. It was a 3-0 first half and a 3-1 second half.
The last two were right at the end, though, weren't they?
Yeah, they were right at the end. But you know what? But it did feel a little bit better in the second half. We did score a goal straight from the off. I mean, Christie was offside. Nice to see Luis Sinisterra get his first goal. That was a great move. But you know, equally, we were getting unpicked as well.
Yeah.
So easy. And it's almost like at some point, at what stage do you say to the lads, like, okay, let's just try to keep it at 3 or 4, whenever it is. Because like a 4-1, Luis Sinisterra scores a great goal. And then Semenyo on the right hand flank, this is only like 10 minutes later, he's got the ball, and then we're committing so many players forward. We lose it. Milos Kerkez on the other flanks, miles out of position, and then a long raking ball from Jeremy Doku fired Bernardo Silva, who's got acres. Kerkez is running back. He skips past Lloyd Kelly. Absolutely superb finish. But surely at that point, at like 4-1 up with 10 minutes to go, why are we committing players forward so much? I mean, is it just his unrelenting philosophy or what?
I think it's a style thing, which I prefer. If we go down on goal difference, then, I'm completely wrong here.
But then he, in his mind, 4-2 is better than 6-1 or whatever. He wants to score another.
Don't get me wrong. I think there's a certain match. So I think, this is just an opinion. I think Sean Dyche, maybe Roy Hodgson, trying to think of managers off the top of my head, maybe a Cooper, I don't know. They would go, 4-1 or 4-0, whatever. Look, let's just not let us get embarrassing.
Yeah.
You know, we lost 9-0 last season, for God's sake. Let's, you know, let's just get through this. Be it just be low block, hard to beat. Let's just, you know, defend our box and we've lost the game. You know, and that's fine. A lot of managers would do that and I get that. And that was kind of what you alluded to there. There's a lot of managers, I think, and only one of them. I think Eddie Howe's one of them.
Yeah.
I think Vincent Kompany's one of them. We'll go, you know, what's the point? We've lost the game.
Yeah.
So let's at least have a go and try and get the confidence up for the players by scoring a few goals, creating a few chances. Actually, these fans travelled a long way. Let's give them a few things to shout about. And I'd rather that, personally. I'd rather that. If we had lost 4-0 because at the 4-0 we just decided to defend for our lives and lost 4-0. Mm. Or we had a little bit of a go. We got to celebrate. Still a standard goal. They got a couple at the end. I think, like you said, it's them making all their changes helps because it means, you know, they're just resting players, blah, blah. They're going for emotions. They won the game. So that helps us have a bit more of a impetus and be able to grab that goal. Then I think at the end, it also means that they've got some freshness on players trying to prove themselves. That ends up, you know, you've only got to see Oscar Bob, the young lad who's coming through for him at the moment. I'm not being funny, but he comes on the pitch and he is going to want to put, he puts in a wicked ball for Ake. He's come off buzzing. He got a small amount of time and he got an assist on his, you know, ticked off an assist. So, you know, so you get a bit of both really. But yeah, they were resting players. I mean, Cam Phillips gets his appearance for the season against Bournemouth. I'm sure he'll get another one when he comes back down to our place. But yeah, it's a bit of both. But I personally prefer us to just stuff it with 4-0 down. Let's have a bit of a crack and try and nick a goal. We did get one and it'll be funny if we, you know, it's all ifs and buts, mate. But if we go and, I don't know, let's just say we beat Newcastle 2-1, right? Sinisterra comes off the bench, gets the winner. Mm. I'll be saying to you, I'll tell you what, having a go and getting him on, maybe that gave him a bit of confidence.
Yeah,
he got his first goal. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? But it was a nice finish from him. And I quite like the fact that we're 4-0 down and Max Aarons is absolutely bombing on. I think fair play. Yeah, why not? We've lost.
Yeah.
We've lost. So let's have a bit of a crack at it. Why not?
And we deserve something to celebrate. We will. We're also seeing someone else's name in the stands. We'll come on to that very shortly. Let's just check out the average positions. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it there. I mean, yeah, they had a lot of players in our half, as you can see. And then the substitutions, well, that didn't really affect that. They bombed on until the very end. Let's also take a look at Bournemouth
this one
as well. And one player in the opposition half, that was Dom Slag. We did sort of get a few more as the game went on and we made substitutions, but as you can see, so defensive, mate. One thing I did notice was,
I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
Meppen.
And then Senesi.
Yeah, and then Senesi. What was that all about?
That's not three centre-halves.
No.
Is it? It's three centre-halves by personnel. But yeah, I've been saying this a lot and people have kind of not really jumped on it, but I think when you see them average position, it backs up what I thought. I was worried I was seeing things. But that is bang on because Meppen and then Senesi, I think he just wanted, the game was, like I said, the game was lost, and I think he just thought, oh, let's see if Senesi can do that job better than Meppen. I mean, it was just stepping to midfield. I quite like that. It was kind of, they're going to have one up front.
Yeah.
So three centre-halves, two are kind of non-existent. They're just marking the space. They're going to have loads of people and then 10 rolls and then pockets. That's what they do. So if one of the centre-halves can engage, let's do that. They started it with Meps, which I understood. I think Zavani's more of a, he's just a proper centre half, and Lloyd Kelly's got that covering pace.
Mm.
So him and Senesi were the two asked to do that. We've done okay at times in doing that, but you know, you're playing Man City and they all got, I mean, Doku turned Meppen in knots for one of the goals. And then to be fair, as much as he rarely does, Lloyd Kelly was tied in knots by Bilal Silva for that goal. So yeah, they just got that quality to do that to you.
They're all right.
No, good side.
They're all right. We'll just take a look at the heat maps on screen. As you can see, barely got out of our half. Man City were completely dominant, and also the match stats as well, which tell their own story in terms of shots on target and off target there. Right, we'll go on. Yeah, go on.
One on target, one goal. I'll tell you what, we are lethal. We're as clinical as hell. Big chances. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We had one corner, I can't remember that.
No, I can't remember either. That must have been in the second half, was it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
it's what it is. That's kind of why I look at that and the score, that's kind of what I expected the stats to look like.
Man of the match and ratings, we've done it on Telegram. Okay, for them.
Oh, well, I mean, it's easy to go Doku.
Is that what you think? Yeah, it comes for them.
Because of his output, probably.
Okay.
I would have said Bernardo Silva.
All right, but you're going to say Doku, are you?
I think it'd be harsh not to go Doku, yeah. But what I personally like,
okay.
I like Bernardo Silva.
And for Bournemouth?
For me, it was Dom Solanke.
Okay, let's have a look at the man of the match and ratings from who scored. Doku got 10.
Yeah,
he got the big 10s, and Dom Solanke was our highest scoring starter. Well done, 6.4. Although Sinisterra, obviously, with the goal, came on for 6.8, but you are right, Dom. So well done, mate.
That was only because, like I say, no one was horrific, no one was brilliant, and Dom didn't have a perfect performance from a centre forward, but I just felt for him, mate. We're clearing it. And I felt like 90% of the time, when we just lumped it to him and it was him against their back four, he'd done the right thing.
Yeah, he did.
Like, he was on his own. He normally held the ball, beat a man, laid it. He'd done the right thing. He was very unlucky not. Obviously, he had one of the slow balls, so it would work. He'd done well with both of them as well. Yeah. So I just felt for him a little bit. It's hard to really give a man latch in that sort of game. But yeah, that didn't surprise me too much, just because of I thought he'd done everything right when he got it, which I suppose that proves that. Obviously, Radu's going to get a horrible rating because he let in 6, and the defence won't get good ratings either because of them stats. But yeah, that doesn't surprise me too much, mate.
Nice to see Jaden Anthony in the crowd, by the way. That was a bit of a weird one, wasn't it? Because no one sort of saw him or sang his name in the first. It's almost like he appeared in the stands.
Yeah, it felt like that.
The second half only, because we were all singing his name.
Yeah.
And there it was. Yeah, Jaden Anthony was there, and he was only a few rows behind us. And we were all kind of goading him to sing a few songs and stuff and lead our chanting. But, you know, we want our Jaden back. There were chance of that. And then, you know, Sinisterra scored when he did, which made us feel a little bit awkward because he was effectively the man that replaced Jaden. But, yeah, nice to see an old face. And what I wouldn't give for that kind of work rate, but all over the pitch.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, we said this when it happened, I think Andoni would have definitely chosen to keep Jaden. He was using him. And I think he likes his press, he likes his work rate, he likes that he can fit in a few different roles and always put a shift in. I think we, as a club, probably thought that Sinisterra's output will be better, and I still think it might be. Jaden, how many goals would Jaden have got? I'm not sure he would have got a lot, because I think he would have come in out of the team. Sinisterra's barely kicked the ball for us, he's already scored. So yeah. I think that still might be the case. And speaking to a Leeds fan that met when we were on the overlap, nice guy, and he was saying that I watched them on Friday night, and they were brilliant against Leicester. Mm. And they said, they're all convinced that they've got, with Ethan Ampadu they've brought in, they're not worried. They think we're well happy we've got rid of Tyler Adams, because he's always injured anyway, and Ampadu's brilliant. They said, we like Anthony, but Sinisterra is definitely a better player.
Yeah.
But I think they're saying the same sort of thing, but we know that when Adney comes on, he's going to graft. Sinisterra is a bit luxury, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's all kind of as expected. But yeah, nicely, Jane. I don't think anyone needs to look into it too much. He is a Bournemouth player, remember?
Yeah.
He is still a Bournemouth player. From what I hear, he didn't want to go or anything. It was just one of them things on deadline day. If he's got digs, which I'm sure he has in Leeds, then it's not that far.
Yeah, true.
So if he's got to pick a game and he's in Leeds, that's probably a decent one to do, because he played on Friday night. So nothing much in it. But yeah, likeable guy anyway. So it was nice to see him. And he seemed pretty happy. And I think it was a nice touch that people were singing bits later, like, nothing to do with us, Jaden. We still have you here, mate.
Yeah, of course.
We still like you and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. Whether he moves on to another club at the end of the season, whether he goes on another loan, get more minutes, whether he stays at Leeds, whether he comes back. So I think all of them things are open, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that will be an interesting one to see what happens there, because I think you can't argue his work rate, you can't argue his endeavour, you can't argue that he's got a lot of potential, in my opinion. But equally, is he the player to take us to that next level? Have we got better wingers at the football club? I'd probably say so. But when you're in it's one of the things, I always remember we had a bit of a rut with Andre Eddy in the Premier League.
He would always rely on his stalwarts.
He'd go back to Pugh and Daniels down the left for a game, because he knew that they'd give, and we haven't really got that option at the moment.
We will.
I think we did that. It didn't work, don't get me wrong. We did that at Everton. We randomly put Smith in. Mm. I think sometimes you think we'll just put someone in a bit more reliable, and we probably haven't got that as much at the moment.
We asked just for a couple of questions or comments on Twitter. Tiggs actually himself said, how long do you expect this project will take? Forest looked in trouble last season and really kicked on with a big turnover of players. Can we take some reassurance from that? Well, I think you are telepathic. So
one mind.
We've already...
But I think it is a good point. Like I said, it is a good point that I think people are quick to forget how everyone was laughing at Nottingham Forest last season, and their overhaul was even more than ours. But they knew they had a good coach. What it remains to be seen with us is, have we got a good coach? Let's see.
Would getting relegated be the worst thing in the world, says Heather? Stick with Andoni and the project may mean Championship for 1 year, but build the team and the system. I definitely wouldn't want to get relegated. And I think a number of our key players that we've got now, I think that would probably be a stretch too far. So it'd be you know, a double reset?
I think when you, I think it's easy to kind of go more into that point when you see Leicester are top of the league, Leeds look like got a good chance coming up, and Southampton sadly look like they could come up as all three. It wouldn't be a massive shock if all three of them come back up.
True, true, true.
So, and Leicester have not lost. They lost Tielemans and Barnes, I think, but they still got like Ian Atcher on the bench in the Championship. So they've managed. So maybe there is a way if you've got the coach and if you've got that kind of, you can sell the project to players. Maybe there is that point of going, look, we'll only be here for a season.
Yeah.
You know, we've got, sometimes you've got to take that step back, take two forward. Maybe, but obviously we don't want to go down. But Novar would make me happy.
Robbie said, if Alex Scott is injured for a lengthy period of time, does that bring about relegation? Not necessarily.
No, but it would be a bloody killer.
Yeah, that creativity.
We do it would be a killer. It would be an absolute killer. But fortunately, Lewis has now served suspension. I think people forget how he was one of our best players regularly this season to the suspension. So, but yeah, hopefully it's not a serious one.
Simon said, where is the patience boundary? We can't show patience 1 week and then totally flip out, losing at City 6-1 when the XG was closer to 2-1. We're still in with the project, but as Iriola said, we got too comfortable in the defensive setup. Players have to believe in themselves more. I think he probably answered his own question there, but yeah, I agree with that.
Players have to believe in themselves more, and it's kind of what we said, that unfortunately, playing against Man City at a time where I don't think there's a lot of confidence in the group, and we need a cup, which we haven't had yet, we need back-to-backs or something just to lift everyone.
Yeah.
And it hasn't happened yet, so yeah, I agree with that. And in terms of patience, that's up to you. That's everyone's individual with their patience levels. At the moment, I'm okay.
Paul Kedward said, is it wrong to criticise performances against the top 10 teams? Seems that some fans think we can and should only expect points from the bottom teams. I see what you're saying, Paul. I think
if we only get points off the teams that are around us, we'll probably go down. I think every season we've pulled off a shock. Last season we beat Liverpool. Last season we beat Tottenham. Before we've beaten Arsenal, we've beaten Liverpool, we've beaten Man United. You always need a bit, a few shocks in there. It's not played on paper.
Aging Cherry said the result was terrible, but was the actual performance that bad? Tactics were wrong at the start, but I think the AI probably went against his better judgment and parked the bus in the first half. We certainly had chances in the game. Yeah, agree with that. Morgan, Tom alluded to it on the match day vlog, but in more detail, why can't we ever seem to do more than just let them attack at the Etihad? Wolves have shown it can be done, albeit that was at their place, Morgan, but they still found a way to get the job done. It is frustrating, but maybe we can do something when they visit us.
Yeah, we'll see. That will maybe be seen, but it is certainly harder on the road. And as I say, I think for me personally, it all goes back to we're not in probably the right place to go to City and go toe-to-toe and try, and I think we're just a little bit on the floor at the moment, so it wasn't ideal. Because listen, let's not, City's are definitely one that we always constantly struggle with, as we've proven with the stats, but we've gone to, only this season, I felt we went to Anfield and had a bloody good go. I think we've played teams that had a good, Emirates last season, we were very lucky. You know, we do it. It's just Man City seems to be that team. And listen, if you're going to have one team that you really struggle against, it's no surprise, it's Man City.
How did we do over 50 minutes on this one? Mate, I think me and you deserve an award. Look, there's going to be more brighter days to come for AFC Bournemouth. I'm absolutely certain. Look, thanks for sticking with us, whether you've been watching or you've been listening. We've got a decent Premier League show with a number of interesting issues that's going to be hitting your screen tomorrow on YouTube. Also on Wednesday we've got an away day show, and then we get into the Newcastle preview content, and the return of the King Matt Ritchie is going to be travelling in the squad as Eddie Howe returns to Dean Court yet again, and I'm sure that he is going to be searching for a win just as much as we will be. It feels like they're a different proposition this season than they even were last season. But a number of key players missing means that maybe, just maybe, we could get three unexpected points. Who knows?
Who knows, mate? I mean, I just thought that then, because I thought, that's nice, isn't it? Because at least the team we've got at the weekend are one of the only teams that have beat City. It's not two ex-managers.
Yeah.
Gary Neil and Eddie Howe, the ones that beat Man City. So, yeah, looking forward to Eddie, mate. Nice to see Eddie come back and go, look, I can't beat you. Like,
I just can't do it. I just can't do it.
We've just been Dortmund. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're all happy anyway. We'll take a point. Let's get out of here. Cheers, Eddie.
Let's get out of here, mate. Up the chairs.
Billy, left footed. It's a cheeky one. Square! Scaldoggery!
Sports Social Podcast Network.